is episode 11 of the Insert Credit Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gorblack Jaffe, and joining me this week are four individuals whose main career experience is wandering the circumference of town on the overworld map. Please welcome creator of the popular iPhone game Ziggurat, Tim Rogers.
What?
Creator of the soon-to-be-popular iPhone game Oh Dear, Brandon Sheffield.
Honk.
Frank Cifaldi, who I think made some kind of game with Rob the Robot in it?
He owns an iPhone.
Okay.
True.
Owner of an iPhone, Frank Cifaldi.
I own two iPhones right now.
And creator and...
Apple fanboy.
And creator of the popular iPhone games Cannibalt, Gravity Hook, and The Hunger Games Girl on Fire, none other than Adam Saltzman.
Adam Pepper Saltzman.
Gravity Hook is super not popular.
It's not? I like it.
I hate that game. That's a joke.
I didn't know that you were the creator of the Hunger Girls. The Hungry Game.
Hunger Girls! Hungry Girls!
That's a whole other calendar for a whole other country. That's not even...
Hey, I got an idea for your next game.
That's my iPhone game.
The Hunger Girls are my Bengals cover band.
I got an idea for your next game, Saltzman. Hungry Girls, Game on Fire.
Wait, I gotta write this down. If I don't write this down,
Hungry Girls Game on Fire.
Tim, it is way too early in the podcast for these terrible jokes.
I was really mad that the girl didn't actually light on fire in the game.
That was in the feature list, man. It got cut. We ran out of time.
Man, god darn crunching.
Adam, I'm dating this girl who just read through all three books, and I had my iPad out, and I was like, oh, I have this Hunger Games game. Do you want to see it? She said, yeah. She's really excited. And then she watched it for about 10 seconds, and she's like, does anything else happen? And I was like, yeah, you got to wait. And then she waited for another 10 seconds, and then she just walked away.
Oh, that's so sad, because that game is pretty good.
Yeah, not our target demographic. We had a specific assignment, which was to try and convince, man boys that thought that The Hunger Games was just like Twilight, that it was actually cool.
You know what, Saltzman? After I played your game, I literally read all three books. I'm not kidding.
Actually, I played your game, I read the first two chapters of the book.
You should read the next chapter. It really heats up in chapter 3.
All right. After I played the game, I watched part of the movie on my neighbor's personal screen on an airplane.
Why was your neighbor on an airplane with you?
He was only my neighbor for airplane purposes.
Oh man, you weren't supposed to answer that. That was supposed to be Jaffe's purpose.
Tim,
to
Brandon,
the show.
Tim, Brandon, everybody else, Frank, Adam Saltzman. Let's begin this show.
Good idea.
Here's the format, in case anyone listening or you, Adam, are unfamiliar with that format. I'm going to throw you a question or a topic. You're going to address it in 6 minutes or less. None of you have heard any of these before. I made up 9 of them. The listeners gave us 1 of them. And if you go over 6 minutes, I'm going to play a terrifying sound effect and we'll be forced to move on to the next one, no matter what. Are you guys ready?
NMW.
Yes.
All ready right, forever.
I was born ready. Let's do this.
I was ready this morning, but I don't know about right now.
Let's begin with question number 1. What is your favorite depiction in a video game of hell?
Oh, man, definitely not Earthworm Jim.
No.
Earthworm Jim, that game is dad jokes all day. That's what that game is. It's like, lol, there's a bunch of lawyers. Lol, there's elevator music. You know what? IDGAF.
Ben Tenapel is a dad, though, right? Like, that shouldn't be way out of left field, right?
Yeah, he's a right-wing conservative dad, so it's right field that you would be way out of.
This is going to be a conservative... this is going to be a... disputed position, I think. Controversial. That's the word I was looking for.
A disputition.
Man, I don't know what happened to all my brain words, but... they straight left my brain mouth area.
Speech.
I'm doing it. I really liked the depiction of hell-ishness in Shadow of the Darned.
Oh, I like that too, actually.
It was very like a livable world that people were in, that demons were just like shoveling corpses and just doing their normal stuff. It was just a place.
That game can ride a motorcycle. Right out of town, as far as I'm concerned.
Right, that's why I thought it would be a little controversial.
It's not controversial, it's just, it's like... what it's like.
Well, okay, we're not talking about the game. We're talking about the environment.
And yabba dabba do, yeah.
I think that yabba dabba do, and also that it was a fine hell. I agree with Brandon.
That was a real good hell.
It was. I mean, they had. It looked like a place, you know. It looked like it had some function to it. It wasn't just like, oh, hell's a bunch of fire and mountains, I guess. No, it's like people have to live there, and it looks like a really terrible place to live, but and place where people can actually live.
I also liked Namco's Samurai Ghost.
Samurai Ghost.
Yep.
That's not a thing.
That's a game I've never heard of before.
What? Really? It's a PC Engine and arcade game that has a kind of weird control mechanism and echoing. Hi, it's me. Hey, what's up?
Wow, that's really bad. Why is that happening now?
I don't know. But anyway, it stars a long-haired Oni-type samurai ghost creature who slices dudes with swords and
samurai ghost creature
has candles for a life bar.
I'm gonna say I like I like that Dante's Inferno. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. So wait, what about games that have like a purgatory style, like your demon's soul's hub or whatever?
Sure, I guess that counts. A fictional hell is a hell nonetheless.
I think those are pretty cool. Hmm. Are you trying to talk about literally?
It doesn't have to be a literal hell. It can be that video game universe's hell.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and step one more circle outside of the question and just say Doom.
Yeah, I was going to ask when Doom
knee
was
deep,
come.
Knee deep in the dead, baby. You know?
Yeah, I'm actually super fond of, like, I don't know if it's pure nostalgia. I'm guessing it's at least like 90% nostalgia. But I like that. I like the whole, I like the, like skin walls.
Oh, man, the flesh.
With absolutely no context whatsoever. Spine walls. There's just, like, shitloads of spines.
Man,
like,
man.
Vertebra.
When
and not arranged artfully. Just, you know, like, plastered onto vector hallways.
Just splashed on there. When, yeah. When I was hanging out with American McGee once, and I invited my friend who was, what do you call it, big Doom fan, and all he wanted to do was talk about Doom, and like he just kept asking American McGee like what was with those walls in that one place and Doom 2, and it's like a level I didn't even know about because I didn't really play in as much detail as him, and American McGee was like, yeah, it was pretty fun, just like just like being like, yeah, let's put this on a wall, and it's like that was it. I love that stuff.
What about hell in Diablo?
Diablo 2? Diablo 2 Act 4, right? Is it the final act of Diablo 2? Has a, it's just straight up Hades, Satan, all that. It's like pretty straight up. Gears of War 2, when you go into the Locust's stronghold, has a real Doom / Diablo / 1993 video games are awesome.
They would splash stuff on walls.
What, in Gears of War?
Yeah.
Was there stuff on walls?
I don't know. I feel like those walls are made for splashing, right? Like
that's just what they'll do.
That's, yeah, well, I mean, there's
name a wall in any Gears of War game that doesn't have things splashed on it.
They love splashing on it. Ever since they invented that static mesh spray paint tool in Unreal 3, where you can like paint a mesh, like, or you can that's pretty cool. They overdid that in Gears of War 3. They went nuts on it. They went to town. Gears of War 2 had it a lot, but that whole final level of Gears of War 2 where there's like those football fields, like with the lava and, like those walls that like you press a switch to raise like a giant steel gear wall out of the ground, like for cover. Like that felt like classy Doom, Diablo, old school 90s video game, OMG, fire and brimstone and demons. I would say Gears of War 2, even though that's kind of not really right.
Well, I'm still going with Shadow of the Danged.
I'm with Brandon, as quote unquote controversial as that is, or whatever word you use.
I used conservative first, which is definitely the wrong one.
Right.
I'm definitely a Doom man, but I had another one and I totally forgot it. I had a pretty good purgatory and then it was just gone.
Oh, well, too bad.
Well, you don't have any more time to remember. We're moving on to question number two.
All right, let's hear it.
Question two. What is it about...
No,
I'm dealing with this. I don't care, Frank. Question number two. What is it about giant robots that people find so appealing?
Giant and the robots. I mean,
I've been trying to figure that out for a long time. There's this dude called Cacophonous on the internet. That is, Ollie Barter is his name.
Cacophanous.
Cacophanous.
It's misspelled.
He's a game designer nowadays and stuff. And I've referred to him before as a robosexual because he really seems to enjoy those giant robots so much. And I don't know what it is. I guess it's some kind of aesthetic thing that people are like, man, look at those chunky. It's like that Japanese term dekaboko, like the feeling of all these chunky, chubby things being
big old chest.
Yeah, pushed together into this one massive hulking beast appeals to people.
Can I make a confession right now?
Yeah, do it.
Go ahead.
Even though I'm of the correct age and everything, I don't get Transformers, and I just kind of pretend to sometimes.
Why would you pretend?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like, yeah, I guess robots are cool. It's like a carryover from being a child.
I actively don't.
You know, when I was in like elementary school, and Transformers are really cool, and I just kind of convinced myself that yeah, that's cool. They're robots and stuff. I guess that's neat. But I think I still kind of pretend just because I never grew out of that somehow.
Well, I mean, I think giant robots is the same appeal as, you know, like giant kaiju monsters stomping around or whatever. It's like when you're a kid, you can't even see onto the kitchen table. And if you're Godzilla, you can see over everything.
Yeah, some people right? never like, let go of that feeling of wanting to be taller.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's... Like it's just like the like super super basic like, you know, power fantasy, but in like a pleasantly like dimensional way.
Yeah, you know, I think also kind of going off that, a lot of these the folks that really like this stuff, you know, they really love that Evangelion or whatnot, and in those you had giant powerful, crazy monster things that were piloted by fragile, emotional teens with a million feelings. And the people could be like, I have a million feelings. I could pilot a giant robot mech that makes me infinitely powerful.
But then every time they're in one of those, all they ever talk about, especially in them Japanese RPGs like that Xenogears, is, and Xenogears and Evangelion alike, it's, I hate robots. I hate being in this robot. And then Zone of the Enders, you're a guy who's like, I hate this robot. Why do I have to be in this robot? And it's like, you're sitting there going, I'd love to be in that robot, you stupid punk. Give me that robot. Yeah.
I feel like the Zone of the Enders robots are, I love the designs. I love Yoji Shinkawa in general, but like those are the most transparent robots because they have huge robot dongs.
Yeah, big old robot.
Like
penis.
That's like the one to one. Not only are you a giant robot, but
you have a huge steel dong.
Yeah,
and you can transform into an airplane.
Yeah, that Kojima knew what he's doing.
Yep, it's all there. It's all there on the page. I think
Kojima was kind of just sitting around smoking cigarettes when they made that game. He's like, yeah, that looks good.
Can I make another? I want to make another confession.
Okay.
Sure.
My last confession was a complete lie, and I totally get it, and I want a giant robot dick.
Okay.
Nice.
I feel like we've grown here.
Yeah, thank you.
Sometimes the giant robot dick is just a cigar.
However, I haven't grown, if you know what I mean. I'm already, you know, I've already lived. That fantasy doesn't mean anything to me because I don't really care. You know, it's like, yeah, some people might think that's big, but to me, that's kind of just normal or a little bit small.
With that blatant lie, can we move on to question 3?
Wait, no.
Yeah,
really?
Do it.
Were we done with
that? Yeah, I'm sure we answered that pretty satisfactorily.
I just wanted to add one final note that there's a difference. There's like all these different types of people. There's the real robots. There's the super robots, right?
Sure.
There's there's many different types of robots. There's the Steel Battalion robots, the Mech Warrior robots. But I just want to say that the robots from the 80s, like the Gundams, those are really cool robots, and I would have one of those if robots were available to buy.
Okay.
Yeah.
A car.
Those are real cool robots. And I will just add as a last thing that while I don't really identify with liking giant robots, I am very interested in human-sized robots and the kind of like AI and gaining humanity or not, and robot rights kind of thing.
That's not the story. That's not the question at all, though. We were talking
about... That's interesting. The end.
We were talking about rideable robots. Unless you're going to be piggybacking on one of those, that rideable doesn't count.
Ride a blowbot.
Okay, then go ahead.
Question number three. What can we expect from Grand Theft Auto 20?
Did you say Grand Theft Auto? Is someone going to steal Grants?
He said Grand Theft Auto 20. He said Grand Theft Auto 20.
Grand Theft Auto.
Well, what's the next one? And the next one's 5.
Right? Yes.
They've made 5 of them in how many years?
The first one was 1998. And okay. They made 2. They made Vice City. They made San Andreas. Oh. They made Vice City Stories. They made Liberty City Stories. They made a lot for the GBA. Yeah, there are a lot of spin-offs.
There's a lot of A's here, but there's only one core team for the core franchise going forward. I mean, they don't do the stories. So let's assume the 20 is the 20th like core team Grand Theft Auto game, right?
Yes.
Okay. So that would mean that they do 5 every
14 years?
Yeah, it sounds about right. So some math there that needs to be done.
It's like 42 years, depending on how you pad it out, right?
Okay.
Well, Adam Saltzman, I mean, it's more like 46 or 56 years. But yeah, so 56 years. I think that's not really the question. It's like, well, okay, so wait, maybe it is.
Yeah.
56 years, so in the year 2054.
Well, that's not technically the core team, right? Because a fair amount of them will be dead.
Is somebody going to die? But there will be people who they've handed off they've passed the baton to.
Would it be the same team? What I was arguing was that we don't count the spinoffs in number of games.
Yeah, we say 5 core. That is correct. So they've made 4 games in 14 years. Well, we say 5 games because the 5th one is basically... imminent.
Well, the question, no more math, right?
Let's deal with the actual question, not when's the release date. The question is,
what is the logical conclusion? What is the vector that GTA is on? Why is it interesting, and why? Like, what would that be? What's the most amazing?
Yeah, we get that. We get that. That's totally okay. We get that.
I just feel like the math is kind of a stalling for time.
The math is very important. Listen, you're the one who just wasted 40 seconds saying that. I'm the only person keeping a stopwatch here, apparently. The math is important because the game will be coming out in 2054, and obviously these games mirror the real world in some way, right?
Yeah.
So the world's going to be different. Will we have flying cars by then? Will we have private jetpacks? Will we have... will everybody actually finally have a Segway by then? What sort of real world?
Will it be meaningfully different? Like 2012, how meaningfully different is that from 1962, right? We have cell phones.
iPhones.
Yeah.
iPhones.
The rest of the infrastructure is basically the same.
So Grand Theft Auto 20, instead of the crappy cell phone that he had in 4, his crappy cell phone will be an iPhone.
It won't even be an iPhone. It'll be some sort of thing graded. It'll be a Google Glass or something.
It'll be like this glass thing that just expands when you open your hand or something. And friends will call you all the time asking to hang out.
You want to go paraboling?
No, they will post on your Facebook wall, and you'll get like a little Facebook note. Your friend has said hi. Like, what's going to happen? This is what I'm building up to here. Is the next Grand Theft Auto 20 is going to be cyberpunk? But not cyberpunk, because reality will be cyberpunk.
It's real, right.
Yeah.
And you'll be in some kind of domed city because the world is all screwed up out there. And yeah.
In the future, cyberpunk will just be punk?
It won't even be punk. It'll be normal.
Yeah.
Punk will be grotesque. You won't even...
Cyber normal.
We're not even allowed to talk about what punk is going to be in 2054 because it's just obscene.
Yeah.
But, I would say that by Grand Theft Auto 6 or 8, maybe even by 5, we will start to have kind of HBO series quality writing to it, because 4 kind of started to touch on what would happen if we had a real story and the character wasn't just a faceless murderer with a kind of a voice. So I feel like by at some point in the future, we're going to have characters who actually talk about cool stuff and have like realistic relationships.
Yeah, I think that's the core thing. I think you're getting at like the guts of the thing that GTA would someday hopefully become, which to me is like what I hope everything that's not sports becomes, which is like there are gameplay mechanics about humans.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, in addition to that, I'm going to say there's probably not a 20. At this point, we're probably an ongoing series of episodes in a in an evolving city rather than numbered sequels.
Yeah, I often talk about, like, when will we have, like, Liberty City just be, like, some an asset that, or a middleware that people can license to set a game in it.
By then, it'll be, like, Liberty World or something, you know? It'll be a very large map, and you can...
Yeah. I am predicting that sometime within the next 50 years, there's going to be an entire genre of video games set in a one-to-one scale model of the entire world.
That's
not the entire world. I don't know about
just
that.
Just the interesting parts, the immediately interesting parts. Yeah. New York
City.
The
big cities.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the big cities. Maybe all of the United States or something. But there's a lot of useless map, and I don't know, maybe I'm not thinking far ahead enough, but there's just too much wasted empty space to make that.
Somebody's going to invent a program that just turns Google Maps Street View into a realistic, amazing 3D game world.
Sure, and exactly. Then it'll be open source, tweak it and stuff. But I actually think that's the real answer. By 2056 or whatever, Grand Theft Auto will be user-generated mission.
Yay!
Woo! I'm going to chalk that one up as a success.
Good job, everybody.
I guess we sort of answered that question.
Question number four is a variety that is an Insert Credit podcast favorite.
Oh, man.
John Romero, Jonathan Blow, Cliffy B. Kill, marry, screw.
Oh, man!
Now, one caveat. Brandon, for the purposes of this question, all three of them are guaranteed to outlive you.
That's Frank.
Yeah, that is
Don't
Frank.
Don't confuse us. I'm the one that always comes up with the first solution to this.
Frank doesn't care about oldies.
Frank's the one that's like, well, I'm going to choose which one's going to die, and then I'm going to take his money, and so I don't have to do it for as long.
Yeah, that's that kind of speaks to, as I've said before, some deeper issues.
Okay, guys, enough about my issues. Come on, let's get serious.
Let's talk about John Romero's issues. He's never going to cut that hair, period.
Okay. So,
I think we're all gonna do Cliffy B, right? I mean,
I'm gonna marry Cliffy B.
Okay,
I'd marry Cliffy B. Well, I mean, he got married, didn't
actually,
he?
You know what? I'm thinking in reverse, right? I think
guy's got biceps and a Lambo. I mean, come on.
and he's smart, but not too smart. He's still bro smart, so you can pretend you're smarter than him sometimes.
He's business smart. He's game smart. He's job smart.
He's like the one I'd want to talk to ever. So I think
you wouldn't want to like just have him taken care of.
What do you mean?
Like eliminated, like buried, and just
No,
you don't like.
Cliffy I think he's B? Good.
Cliffy, why don't you like Cliffy B, Adam Saltzman?
It's not a personal thing. I just
are
like.
Are
like,
you jealous because he can climb mountains faster than you? Yes.
This will sound awful. I'm sure this won't come back to bite me in the ass. Like, what's his contribution to, like, humanity?
Oh man, well, video games for one thing. I mean,
he gets it done, man.
We can answer that question.
Yeah, but what does he get done?
Okay, so
I've had this argument with my friend Bob a million times. Okay, keep going, Frank.
Well,
isn't coming from like an angry, passionate place. Like, I'm just tell me why he shouldn't be, like, just quietly removed.
I understand that you don't like him and want him killed or anything, but why do you want him killed more than Romero or Blow?
More?
Yeah.
Because we're choosing. We have to choose each for each.
Here. Right. I guess I don't have a good reason. Like, I genuinely don't want Jonathan Blow to be dead.
Okay.
I can say that much. I've gotten that far.
So, okay.
Him, I would like to not be dead.
I can explain to you very briefly why Cliffy B is good to keep around. He understands how mechanics work. He understands what people like and how to make a game that is actually a good, solid, playable game that will also appeal to a large number of people without significantly pandering. And it's he's very good at making smart pop culture entertainment, and that is...
It's like, what's an example?
Gears of War.
Gears
which,
of War.
Like, which of one?
Gears of War 1 and 2 are really good. They have good level design.
Which parts?
Level 5 of Gears of War, or the end of level 4 of Gears of War 1, where you have to climb up the stairs and fight guys on your way up the stairs, then get into a house and get into the basement and steal something.
I didn't get that far.
And then you have to defend the house, and then you have to get down the stairs.
Yeah,
that's pretty smart.
Even just the way that the character moves and the way the action feels. It's like, people loved Resident Evil 4, but when Gears of War came out, it was like, oh, so... Here's, you know, Resident Evil 4 had basically tank controls compared to what this is doing. Like, it was so much smarter. They had the...
How come it feels so much worse?
Would you rather marry the guy who invented the cover system or the guy who made it work? Are you going to go with that kill switch guy? I don't even know who that guy is. Is there a guy? No.
I'm just anti-cover system in general, I guess.
Guys,
like, it just makes so
what
far.
Does this do with carrying or killing or fucking? Come on.
Somebody pulled a gun on someone at the bus stop about 6 months ago outside my house, and I ran to get behind a giant radiator unit along with like 5 other people. Because
you feel like you wouldn't, you, that
because
wouldn't,
of
like
Gears of War.
Built in?
Cliffy B saved my life. It might not be built in.
Okay,
title
okay,
of the podcast.
Before we end,
marry Cliffy B.
Hey. Okay, Saltzman, we ignore now. Okay, we're ignoring.
Saltzman, you're dead.
Marry Cliffy B.
Because he's gonna save your life over and over again.
John Romero has the most romantic hair.
Kill John Romero because he. Well,
is the girl
I don't know.
There?
I've had a real life conversation with John Blow. So. It's really awkward to think about having sexual intercourse with him.
I mean, I have also, and I agree with that, and I haven't talked to Romero, so there's maybe a chance that I could have sex with him more than Blow.
And I mean, come on, Doom!
John Romero seems like an attentive lover.
Yeah,
I mean, yes.
That's true.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
Also, but then there's, I mean, John Blow has Blow right in his name.
Yeah, that is kind of tempting.
That's optional. That's on you if that's going to happen.
I mean, maybe you get away with the...
No, it's not. What do you mean it's optional? It's on me. You don't know how I roll, bro.
The rules are...
All or nothing.
The rules... No.
Okay, no. We got 15 seconds left, guys. Go.
Okay, Mary Cliffy B, screw John Romero, kill Jonathan Blow.
Okay. Yes, nailed it.
I'm glad that we all came to a really good place about John Romero, but I have to submit the opposite otherwise.
You would kill John Romero?
Sorry, Adam Saltzman, you don't get an opinion. Moving on.
That's a really grim way to end it. How he wants to kill John Romero? That's sick.
Let's keep going.
Jason Young asks a question based on our sister show, the ActionButton.net podcast.
Oh,
other than Final Fantasy VII, what other games might benefit from a D-make?
A D-make? Oh, that's a really good question.
All the games.
So the idea that we hit upon in the ActionButton.net podcast was that I would rather play a D-make of Final Fantasy VII that made it look like Final Fantasy VI than play a 1080p 3D AAA modern-day remake of it.
So there's a Chinese bootleg Famicom version that's actually like most of the game?
Yeah, you linked me to that.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Sonic Adventure.
Oh, Sonic really? Adventure just be made like an old Sonic game?
Yeah.
Huh.
So what parts of it are saving?
I don't really think anything about Sonic Adventure is worth saving. No.
All the running and the loops and the hanging out with Chad.
It's got at least, like, there are 3 solid levels.
Yeah
if you combine the salvageable levels across all of the 3D Sonic games into 2D games, like, if you took all of the 3D Sonic games and made that one 2D Sonic game, that would be a good Sonic game.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. It'd be almost as good as Sonic.
The caveat that every 2D Sonic game made in the last decade has also been terrible. Not terrible, but they've been better than the 3D, but they've been nowhere near the initial quality. So you'd have to temper that with, like, take all those levels and then pretend that somebody made a 2D one that was as good as it should be.
I would play a side-scrolling Rolling Thunder-like 16-bit Gears of War.
I was going to go with Halo on that one.
Oh, Halo as well, yeah. But Gears of War has... Rolling Thunder has, like, the boxes you can duck behind.
Yeah.
Had the cover-based shooting in it. But if you could put that into Halo.
I think Halo with branching paths, kind of a Halo Contra game, would be really cool, especially if you had some of those maps with... that have the launch pads and whatnot, that would be really fun.
I'd like to play a Devil May Cry or a Bayonetta as a beat 'em up.
Actually, a guy did that. A Devil May Cry.
Devil May Cry 'em up?
An indie game guy that won. He won something, best game design maybe, at IGF China.
Oh, good for him.
Last year.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
I think I would probably enjoy most of the Telltale games more if they were old 2D adventure games.
Yeah, that's kind of a thing.
Because those games, well, I haven't played The Walking Dead, but like Sam and Max and stuff, they just don't look that good.
What if we took them further back and just made them straight text adventures?
Well, then I probably wouldn't play those because I like graphics.
Yeah. What about Way Forward games? Demake those and then make them good.
Yeah,
make them good.
If you demade Contra 4 into like the graphics of Contra 1 for NES, you'd have a game that nobody would talk about having fun with when they were kids.
That's right.
Oh my god! I'm sorry, that was too hot of a burn.
Scalded yourself.
Contra 4, man. Okay, I'm not going to talk about Contra 4. I don't want to talk about
it. What else?
It's Contra, sort of.
I tell you what I don't want.
Man,
is GTA.
I'm gonna say every Zelda that's come out since Wind Waker.
Oh man, I would love. No, I would love. Make Wind Waker into make them look like Link to the Past. I would say somebody was remaking Ocarina of Time into a Link to the Past.
Oh, well, I'd play that.
Look great. Yeah.
I would play Majora's Mask that way as well.
Oh man. Yes.
3D didn't really add too much to Zelda. I'm sure somebody's going to send me a hate mail about that.
Majora's Mask would be amazing in 2D.
Yeah, it'd be hot.
Like, you would grasp the geography of the town so fast that way.
You know what I'd rather play? I would say a demake of Cannibalt for the original iPod. Can we get that?
There's a C64 demake.
Guys, this is going to tie into a later question, so let's put that up there.
I think that also, ruined my train of thought there, Javi.
Oh no!
Good job.
God darn it!
Stop thinking about trains, Brandon.
I love trains. I think trials would be a really badass as Excitebike.
Yeah.
Roll it back.
I don't know if it would be helped by being demated. It just kind of happens to have sword polished 3D graphics.
It's
basically a 2D old game.
I take that back, and I might lose something because there's something you need that I need that extreme precision of the representation of the position of the bike too.
What if we got Arkham Asylum and Arkham City in the style of Batman for the NES?
I don't think that would work out. No. You need the 3D element for the combat.
Yeah, the combat is what makes it stand out, and you need 3D for that, I agree.
I think you could do it in 2D. I think
you can make a 2D game that's fun.
I mean, I guess you'd have to have him, pass through enemies or something.
Well, Shanks is a super competent straight 2D brawler, I think.
We're not entirely in agreement on that.
We had the creator of Shank on this show, and he personally disowned Shank.
Really?
We didn't actually have that.
What?
We didn't have the creator of Shank on the show.
Did we have Clyde? Yeah, I don't remember.
Okay, that might have been a little bit of hyperbole. We had a guy who worked on Shank on the show.
We had a guy that had a special thanks on Shank.
Get a special Shanks on thank.
Yep.
Man, I had a big old list in my head of games that could be demade.
Final Fantasy 13.
Halo could be demade in the style of Urban Strike and Jungle Strike. The end. That was the champion answer.
No, that was good.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking when the question was first asked.
I'll add one more thing.
Oh, you
can't. That's the rules. You can't add another thing.
Yeah, you have to write a blog first.
In fact, we're going to take a short break right now, but stay tuned while our listener, Teresa, tells us what developers can do to scare the player in a horror game.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
Hey. Here's the answer to a question from Episode 9. What can horror games do to effectively scare players? Gamers are prideful and defiant by nature. Any attempt to scare us will work for maybe 2 minutes, then we'll impishly find glitches to make the offending creature spasm and dance for our own entertainment. Adult fears? Yawn. Press X to Jason. What developers have to do is target gamers specifically, or more precisely, undermine all our assumptions and security. Have the game made with deliberate glitches with random triggers to frustrate and disorient the player. Have it track their use of save files and punish them for trying again for ideal outcomes. Make failure put the save data and hard-won trophies of other games on the line. The developer should actively flood the internet with GameShark codes and solutions that sabotage the player, and walkthroughs that mention details and scenarios that are fabricated. Each game will randomize and then fix aspects of itself so as to prevent players from being able to commiserate and support each other in their trials. Have it infect and interrupt any other game the player uses to avoid it. And most importantly, make it actually beatable with a 100% complete achievement, so that the many gamers with a perfectionist streak will drive themselves into despair trying to meet the game's fickle and indeterminate demands. And that is the correct answer.
Welcome back to the Insert Credit Podcast. I'm your host, Lex Jaffe. Joining me is Rank Cifaldi.
Hello.
I'm Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
Randon Sheffield. And Dan Saltzman.
Fantastic.
Let's move on with question 6. They say celebrities die in threes. First, we lost Nintendo Power, and now we have news that G4 is finally going off the air. What are your best odds for the celebrity death pool?
Hang on, G4 is not going off the air.
G4 is kind of falling apart, is all.
G4 will be rebranded and will still be a video game channel, but it's not going off the air.
I think it's actually going to become the Maxim Network plus games.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's going to be.
Okay, so I'm sorry.
Let's just presume G4's dead, though.
Okay, let's presume G4's... You're asking what's next?
Hyperbole is a powerful tool on this show.
Yeah, well, yeah. Hyperbole works real well.
Morgan Freeman died today, so I think that's the end. That's the answer.
What?
Don't make up ridiculous things, Brandon.
Okay. That's what my mom texted me.
Morgan Freeman did not die.
He dies for fakesies like every week.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman is still alive according to Wikipedia. Yep,
man. My mom's just got
She probably got Twitter trolled.
That's a hoax that happens
at
every
some point. You guys should go to abevagoda.com.
Okay.
That's good.
I'm going to do that later.
All right.
I love Abe Vigoda.
So what's next? It's got to be...
Abe Vigoda is alive.
IGN, right?
Yeah, IGN would be the hyperbole answer, I guess. But actually...
IGN is not definitely...
IGN, from what I understand... I mean, they tried to spin off into their own business and sell it, and no one bought it. And that was well over a year ago. So, I mean, it's theoretically possible that IGN could...
IGN has to go to Home Depot every morning to get a new truck full of Skrill rakes to rake in that money because they bend and break the old ones. So IGN, man, you shut your face, Frank. No, I'm just kidding. I don't care about IGN.
What about 1UP?
Any future stuff is in danger. 1UP's definitely in danger.
1UP is...
1UP died once, didn't they?
1UP
Well, they died once, but they had a 1UP.
Nice. Was that the intention? Were you setting up that punchline there, Adam Pepper Saltzman?
I was now.
Oh, actually, OneUp.com published an article by me last week, and I didn't even know until like yesterday. I was like, "Whoa, hey!"
So is that a harbinger of doom, or is that proof that they're okay?
Well, hang on. When I worked at
a little bit of both,
I commissioned
Kotaku prints Tim Rogers articles, and now they're in the New York Times. So,
but Frank, I didn't know that that they'd even published it, or that they'd even looked at it, or received it, or it was.
They have like three people over there now.
I keep meaning to like tweet a link to it. I should tweet a link to it tomorrow. It was a pretty good article.
Who's dead? Who's dead here?
1UP.
We've got print and we've got broadcast, so I guess we need web now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Game Informer could die, like, not in the sense that it would stop being distributed for free, but in the sense that it would entirely cease to have writing in it. and just be like photos of like muscly CG men with guns.
And that would probably make it a better magazine.
I think it would. I mean, it's not going to affect its circulation negatively.
What about Joystick?
Yeah, Joystick is owned by AOL, right?
Right.
AOL probably.
Wait, is it AOL or OWL?
It's OWL.
Okay. I thought I was pronouncing that correctly. Thanks.
You just kind of vomit when you say it.
OWL.
Mr. OWL.
Joystick's definitely in trouble, but I don't know if they're definitely in trouble. Sorry, AOL is definitely in trouble.
I mean, who uses AOL anymore? I mean,
my parents, too.
Well, there you have it.
I feel like Joystick had this really strong position for a while, which was it wasn't Kotaku.
Yeah, and now.
But then Kotaku kind of cleaned up their act. I'm guessing, like quasi in response to
what was
Polygon
their,
threatening to exist.
What was their act? Was it publishing less or more stuff by me?
I think that was about the same. I think it's the Kotaku that everybody likes to make fun of. It was like the cakes and like anime costumes Kotaku.
Right.
I feel like Steven's kind of cleaned
Kotaku
that
East.
Up a little.
Steven's cleaned it up a lot. I've got the answer.
What is it? Let's hear it. I'm dying to know, really.
This video game media publication thing to close down will be Polygon.
Okay. Oh, they're gonna announce JK, guys.
Yeah, their the final episode of their documentary will actually at the end say that they ran out of money and have to shut down.
All right.
They spent too much money making documentaries.
Internet Explorer paid for all of that.
Yeah.
But Polygon's the answer.
Okay.
My answer is I don't care.
Yeah, also that.
Well, I guess the safe answer would actually be the Wii.
The Wii?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the Wii is done. Is that right?
Yeah, it's done.
Wii
really,
done?
Not really a video game publication.
But no, we didn't say publication.
But you said comes in threes and you named two
publications, sort of.
Video Game Death, THQ. What
about
THQ? THQ aren't as thick as they used to be.
And at this point, like the death of the Wii is not so much like a sudden tragedy that was unexpected, but like an inevitable death of old age.
It's an assisted suicide.
Polygon's the answer. So
Polygon's the answer. Yeah. Let's move on to question number 7. What is your dream video game crossover?
Dream video game crossover.
Mario and Sonic at the Winter Olympic Games.
Yeah, I really want to see that. I really, really want to see Mario and Sonic at the 2016 Winter Olympic Games.
Do you think they'll do that? Think they'll come back?
Oh, yeah, and it's going to be really hot.
It won't, because the 2016 Olympic Games will be Summer Olympics. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but they do. But the problem
2014 is when it'll be the winter one, then, yeah.
So the problem you might not be foreseeing is that they are aging athletes at this point. They can't just compete forever and be expected to win.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be a point where Mario and Sonic just can't compete anymore.
Well, it depends on the sport, I guess.
Sure.
They could get into, like, you know, being heptathletes or something.
Do you guys think it'd be cool to have, like, a Smash Brothers for Microsoft's franchises?
Probably.
Yeah.
Definitely
Blinks,
not.
Blinks. And
Grabbed by the Ghoulies,
Cameo, ooh. Elements of Power, Perfect Dark,
Master Chef
versus Marcus Fenix.
And Avatars.
Yeah.
Viva Pinata.
It would just pull down all your friends' avatars, Frank.
Okay, that worked.
That actually is pretty cool.
I think someone did that on the Xbox Live Indie Games already.
I am dying to have a game where I can be my Xbox avatar in Gears of War right along. So I want Marcus Fenix to tell a hideous cartoon representation of myself to fight through the pain. I really want to see that. I will pop such a boner, you know, to get real, to, you know, real talk. I will
so
pop such a
your
boner.
Dream video game crossover is Gears of War and you.
Gears of War and avatars, man. Gears of War and avatars.
As long as there's like super, super detailed like blood decals all over the avatars at all times, I'm totally happy.
I think my dream matchup is Triple Town and Yeti Town.
Oh, yeah.
No, the Yeti's Yeti bold. Brandon, that would be too easy. The Yetis and the bears would just fight each other, and you just build whatever you want.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, come
on. Who would win, Yetis or bears? Probably Yetis.
Whoever yeah, the bears, wins. Bears. The bears would win. Bears.
I have an actual answer. I have an actual answer. Ready?
Yetis aren't real, so bears would win.
Bubsy, Awesome Possum, the Battletoads, and
Trash the Tasmanian Tiger.
You know what, Frank? I was with you, but you straight up jilted Arrow the Acrobat.
Yeah, I was gonna
I'm
say.
Like, man, that your little crossover means nothing without Arrow the Acrobat.
Well, how about Zero the Kamikaze Squirrel?
Well, he would have to be in there as well. You can't just have Arrow the Acrobat without Zero the Kamikaze Squirrel.
Trevor McFur in his Crescent Galaxy should get it.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. God. Trevor McFur versus Star Fox would be a good crossover.
I think everybody's waiting for a Conker / Duke Nukem crossover.
I'd play that.
Conk Nukem.
What about Duke Conkum?
Or you could have a Conker and Bonk's Adventure crossover. That would be Bonk's Adventure.
Bonker's Bad Meat Day. Why do you like Bonk so much, Brandon? He eats meat in it.
It's not my fault. Eating the meat is optional, just like killing grandmas is optional in GTA.
No, but you benefit very much from eating.
You benefit from shooting the hooker and stealing her money.
Yeah, you don't. Okay, no, you don't. Look,
you don't really, because what do you use money for in GTA? Nothing.
I have a spreadsheet.
Buying more weapons.
I have a spreadsheet on Grand Theft Auto's economies, and there's nothing.
Right. Sports. I use the money in Grand Theft Auto 4 to take taxi rides everywhere. That's it.
There you go.
It's like $10, so,
the economy in that game is like fourth grade level, okay? Like, seriously.
Yeah, we need to get the Zynga guys to design the economy for the next Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, that'll. I'll be raking it in there. Grand Theft Autoville, we'll call it. That's it. Grand Theft Auto and Farmville, where you can drive outside the town and there's a farm.
Oh, man. Yeah.
One of the bros from Action Button Entertainment, Nicholas Wazilewski, was just saying today, he lives in Virginia, there is a Farmville, Virginia, like a real city called Farmville.
Whoa. Like, can he send us like a postcard?
Man.
Like greetings from Farmville?
He really should. He totally should.
I bet Polygon is sending people there right now.
Yeah, I feel like maybe he just shouldn't tell anyone so they don't get, like, sued out of existence.
Oh, man, that'd be fantastic if the mayor of Farmville gets sued and he has to just drown himself in drink and gunfire.
Oh. The mayor of Farmville sounds like some obscene crossover between Foursquare and Facebook.
Ooh, yeah.
There should really be an interview.
You could be mayor of virtual shitholes. Holy cow.
There should be an interview with that mayor where he is, people are asking him how difficult it is to manage his town and how he, you know, manages his request for water.
So you harvest the wheat every 4 hours, Mr.
Mayor? Exactly.
Strawberries every day, then, is it? Corn every 2 minutes. You guys must be busy. Man'll break his back in that field.
Let's just move on to the next question, shall we?
My last word on this one, since we didn't get the horrible noise yet, is I would like to never see any more crossovers ever again.
Okay.
That one.
That's my ultimate crossover.
Toe Jam and Earl in Grand Theft Auto?
Not even we'll that.
Oh, that's too bad.
Question number 8. Pitch to me a mobile game designed for the Nokia cell phone I had in high school.
Oh, man, that must have been a long time ago.
Yeah, it was like I had Snake on it. I paid like something like $5 for a meaty 10-second clip of Funky Town for a ringtone.
That's fantastic.
It was like this LED black and white display. It had something like 20 pixels on it.
Why'd you get Funky Town when you could have gotten Electric Avenue?
Because I'm a Funky Town kind of guy.
You're not Electric Avenue?
I like to pay tribute to Funky Town as the official last disco hit before disco died.
Has anybody here ever listened to the full song Electric Avenue? It's terrible.
Yeah, I don't like that song very much. I have an answer for you, though, Jaffe.
Yeah. Sure.
You go first.
An old-school LCD-style first-person dungeon crawler with randomly generated maps, which isn't really that hard to do there. where you will eventually always die, but you can progress further and fight monsters and gain there are probably just two items you can get because you don't want to take up too much screen real estate with those. A health one and a magic spell. And then you just fight your way as far as you can get, and that'll work on your phone fine and actually be pretty fun.
I'd say there's new stuff being done with roguelikes all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It's like roguelikes are so lo-fi by nature. Something like Saga 33 could probably run and be really interesting even on a crappy old phone.
Yep.
I always wanted to make something that was like blackjack and like planetary exploration. There's my ultimate crossover right there.
Oh, that's pretty
sweet. Overlapping. So you would you basically be gambling on whether or not you could make it to the next planet, and then you would have to decide to cash out or push on and see if you could beat the dealer and get to the next planet.
The real answer is Drug Wars.
Well, yeah, that was those were the good games back then. There was that Intergalactic Fish Trader game, I think it was called. It was basically Drug Wars.
Those were the games that inspired the first Facebook games.
Right.
Yeah. I was going to basically say text-based games. I don't you've got these like Question of the Dragon sort of games on the iPhone that would have worked just fine on those. I don't know that those are necessarily like the best games, but simple text choice games, there's something there.
Yeah.
You can do like a rock paper. There's a bunch of rock, paper, scissors mechanics that you could have mapped to like 1, 2, and 3 because you weren't allowed to like have corded button presses or whatever.
You could make a competent Poke clone for an old phone.
Yeah, I thought Tower Blocks was actually like reasonably interesting when it came out.
Tower Blocks?
That was way after these phones, though.
Oh, was it?
Oh, so one
Tower
thing.
Tower Blocks was pre-iPhone. Like, when Tower Blocks came out, it was on like Nokia candy bar things.
Yeah, but we're talking about like no color, just black on an LCD screen.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys knew this, but Triple Town was initially an Amazon Kindle game for the first Kindle.
That's really? The only platform I have it for.
Yeah, and it's. I mean, I don't know. You guys all like Triple Town? I think it's one of the coolest things ever made.
I like it. Okay, it's not my
favorite. I think it's got pacing problems, but I do like the. I like.
Can
the,
you can you solve a Rubik's Cube in less than 2 minutes, Adam Saltzman?
No.
Well, then, yeah, pacing problems, huh?
I definitely
is that
can't.
What it is?
It's math problems. If you don't like math that much, like I don't, then it's not very exciting.
A Rubik's Cube is never beyond is never 19 moves past a solution. By the way,
okay,
just knew that.
Yeah,
but yeah.
You could make Cannibal on that phone. I tell you what.
Yeah, you could.
Could you? I want it on the
original. I think those screens ghosted pretty bad.
I was going to say the refresh rate on those is not good enough.
It's okay. No, I mean, even if it ghosts, you're paying attention to the blackest bit, and you could get used to it. I mean, you could do that. On the TI-82, they had Mario, and it didn't work so well, and it had ghosting problems, but you could still play it. You could still, if you were in a class that you didn't like, you would definitely still play Mario.
We were mocking up Virtual Boy style graphics for Ziggurat, and apparently it would ghost pretty bad even on the PlayStation Vita.
Wow.
That's a little bit of secret info for you guys. So if such a game had such graphics on such a system, it wouldn't look very good.
Theoretically speaking. Hypothetically.
But that's only because of the high contrast, of course, the red and black. It's not high contrast. Mm-hmm. What's the word for that? The level of contrast. Man, Virtual Boy, man. I would say put... maybe Triple Town does have pacing problems that prevent it from being as popular as... possibly could be, right?
I think so. I'm just saying, like the second time I played it, I played through it like for 5 minutes or whatever, and fucked up my town and died or whatever, and restarted, and like game two was like, I don't know, 800,000 points and 4 flying castles or something. And it took like an hour and 45 minutes or 2 hours.
You're just supposed to take a move and walk away. You're supposed to like take a move every now and again. You can deliberate on it. There's no time pressure. Mm-hmm. I think games like that are really cool.
Like nothing. Let's move on to number 9. Which Valve headliner will have the largest impact on the video game industry? Greenlight, Steam TV, or that VR headset which will heretofore be referred to as ValvoVision?
ValvoVision.
ValvoVision.
What about VolvoVision?
To ValvoVision.
Well.
How about ValvoVision? Valva. How about that? Is that good?
Valva?
I guess.
Instead of Valvo? I think ValvoVision sounds better.
I would VolvoVision.
No, ValvoVision is too close to VolvoVision.
God, Volvos are fantastic.
Yeah, so, VolvoVision.
That's a reliable car.
Greenlight, I don't feel like Greenlight is that cool. At least not yet. They have a lot to figure out because they just announced the 10 games, the 10 first games that they were going to put on Greenlight, that they were going to put on Steam because of Greenlight, and it was just the 10 highest voted games.
Yeah, I clicked on that link and it was just a GIF of a guy doing like the jerking off motion. Go on. Yeah.
So
no, I'm just kidding. Some of those games were cool.
Well, they might have been cool. They might not have been. But the point is that the way Greenlight works is it's just a voting system that can be easily gamed. So I don't think it's gonna. I mean, unless they change it.
It's not a thing yet. Like maybe in the long run, I could imagine that being like the most influential thing because that's changing. It has the potential to change what sort of things get distributed rather than just how they're distributed.
But I don't think a system where people vote on what gets distributed is going to be the game changer. I think a system where people don't even have to friggin' vote is probably going to be a game changer eventually. Where you know the games are just for sale, damn it, like the iOS market or whatever. But the second one was what the big screen mode, right?
Yeah,
the big picture.
Yeah, the big head mode. I like big head mode.
Big Head Mode is actually a real game seller.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I would have never played NBA Jam if it weren't for that.
Shoot, I should put that in the Cannonball update.
Yeah,
oh, I want Big Head Mode in Cannonball. Yeah,
do it. Big Headaball.
Make it Shaquille O'Neal's head though.
giant Bill Clinton head.
Yeah. I think that that big screen thing is definitely interesting and. I would consider building a TV. I mean, building a PC for my TV to play PC games on. But if there's a thing that's going to get me to play PC games more, I sort of feel like it might be the Microsoft Surface thing.
Surface.
Yeah. Substance. Surface. Surface is right.
Yeah.
You mean smart?
No, I mean Surface. I mean the tablet.
They're like laptop thingy.
The laptop tablet thing that has its own integrated keyboard that's also a stand that also lets you plug in an Xbox 360 controller that also runs Windows.
See what you're talking about, yeah.
So like taking that thing around with me seems way more feasible because it's already a computer than buying a computer to hook up to my TV, unless Microsoft Surface also can serve... Steam to my TV, in which case, hooray, I'm using both.
But it's not like broadcasting to your TV. You got to go like hook it to your TV. And
well, yeah, but it's the size of a laptop, so who cares?
But this is
the future, too. I mean, who knows?
I mean, you can buy a computer that is more functional than the Surface
and
small and plug it into your TV right now for probably like $300.
Yeah, but Brandon, a computer doesn't have to be enormous. And it could,
I'm aware. My computer is a tiny cube.
Do you know how much the Microsoft Surface costs?
How much?
I don't think that's announced yet.
Hold on. I know. $599.
Crazy. That's the exact same price as an Apple iPad device.
I just typed Microsoft Surface price and then pressed enter into Google. And the first result is Microsoft Surface $199 price, not feasible, still could sell millions. And it's written by an analyst of sorts. It's like, okay.
There you go.
The iPad sure isn't $199.
Big head mode, in all seriousness, I myself put together a computer about 4 years ago for this purpose.
Just to play Big Head Mode?
Just to play computer games on my TV. And I had a good damn time, but the UI was not great. And even though I had a computer hooked to my TV, I would turn on my Xbox 360 to watch Netflix, which is weird when you think about it. Yeah. Once Big Head Mode starts having, you know, like Netflix apps and Hulu apps and stuff, it's and I'm playing the same damn console games I would be otherwise, but you know, in 1080p or whatever, then I don't know that I would turn on my consoles anymore.
Yeah, I think that is the answer. I think Valve's big picture is pretty neat.
Yeah,
and I'm also going to point out that I really do not like putting screens on my eyeballs. Anything that wants to try to make me do that is going to be in trouble because I feel like I'm looking at something that's an inch away from my face because I am doing that, and that hurts my eyes and my head and my brain.
I feel like big picture mode is at some extent at the mercy of these operating systems, though. Like, I have a little bitty, like, DS case-sized computer for the TV for watching, like, especially watching, like, Street Fighter streams or whatever. Like, it's such an enormous hassle compared to a console. Even, like, I've done everything that I can to make it a reasonable thing to interface with. Like, trying to get the power saving settings right so that it'll turn itself off, but it'll turn itself back on properly when, like, you press a button on the remote, just like the PS3 does, or just like the Xbox. Like really, really basic, simple usability things are, like, surprisingly difficult to do still. And yeah, I think Big Head Mode is always going to be at the mercy of that.
Oh, no.
Let's wrap things up with question number 10 before we go on to our super popular lightning round.
All right.
It's been said that Valve is the Pixar of video games. If that's the case, who's the DreamWorks of video games?
Probably Microsoft.
Blizzard.
I think Microsoft.
No, it's got to be someone who just kind of, like, is two steps behind Valve at all the time.
Blizzard.
Microsoft.
What does Blizzard do that copies Valve?
It's not so much copy. I don't know.
Well, keep in mind that DreamWorks made Ants when they heard that Pixar was working on A Bug's Life, and yeah. DreamWorks made Deep Impact when they heard Disney was working on Armageddon. Well, and there's just like a whole list of, like, they're making a movie about a meteorite. We got to make one too.
The obvious Blizzard DreamWorks comparison would be that Miss the Pandaria thing, which everybody compares to Kung Fu Panda, which is a DreamWorks property.
But that's Blizzard.
Yeah.
That thing. Did you guys see that?
When they had the samurai panda and offended everybody?
Yeah, and people hated that. It's like, you're already playing a game where you pretend to be ogres and stuff. It's like,
ogres that are already, like, Jamaican, like, the only black people in the game are these horrible green monsters.
Yeah, that's a little weird. And then it's like, oh, now they've got the panda, the Chinese guy is a panda. However, as someone who thinks WoW is pretty dumb in general, no offense to people who play it, I think that panda just makes it look way more dumb.
Okay, do you guys want to answer the question?
Yes, I would like the question to be answered.
Let's hear it.
I said Microsoft, so...
I'm going to say EA.
Why EA?
Because of Origin?
Origin, sure.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's actually the answer. I mean,
can I throw Epic?
I think that EA has...
Oh, go home! Go home!
Epic. Like, you see that they have that, like, co-op team survival thing that looks exactly like Team Fortress.
Team for Dead is what it looks like.
It's just one product, though, but that's just one product, and I feel like EA is following the Valve thing of trying to become platform independent.
Mm-hmm.
And do their own thing, to have their own distribution.
And also, when you think of all of the quote-unquote smart FPSs that are that EA's making, like, their little Syndicate FPS, which actually was pretty cool. I don't know if anybody played it. I played it for 5 minutes. It seemed pretty neat. It's more than I play most stuff. They're making all these little FPSs that are kind of cool, or kind of, you know, they made Mirror's Edge or whatever. All their little arty stuff, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. kind of feels like they're trying to make something as good as Half-Life. They're like, it should be easy, right? Mm-hmm. I actually do legitimately, I'm not making that up, I do get that feeling from a lot of, like, all the smarter games that they do. Dead Space, Mirror's Edge, Syndicate is obviously wasn't popular, so it's not as good of an example, but they feel like they're trying to make a smarter FPS.
I feel like if they'd given the Mirror's Edge team more than like 6 months to make that game,
yeah, they could.
It would have been like a landmark. Like we would be sitting here going like, man, Valve just has to get their shit together, or they're never going to catch up to EA.
We would be sipping whiskey and
based
crying.
On that one game. I don't think so.
You didn't let me finish my hilarious sentence. I was going to say we would be sipping whiskey and crying about that game right now if they give it them like a couple more months and a little bit more money.
Yeah,
I think that while I do agree that EA is probably the answer, I would also like to submit for your amusement Airtight Games because they got a leak. They got Kim Swift making that Quantum Conundrum, which is very, very Portal-y because she made that. Also, and then the next thing she does, who knows? But I feel like it's
a better be
zombie. You know who's the DreamWorks to the whole industry though?
Who
is Gameloft?
Nintendo.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Gameloft. Yeah, Gameloft.
Yeah, Gameloft.
But Gameloft's games are way worse than DreamWorks' movies. Like, have you seen How to Train Your Dragon? That movie's pretty good.
Okay. Both Kung Fu Panda and How to Train Your Dragon are both great. Both came from non-DreamWorks directors who are basically, like, the director of Kung Fu Panda was kicked out of DreamWorks after.
I'm sort of scared that DreamWorks like has to.
Gameloft is like that show that made Hop and Despicable Me and The Lorax, that, like, third place one.
That's Lorax. Blue Sky. That's Blue Sky.
Lorax.
Yeah, I'd go in for that.
So there's, like, DreamWorks has, like, okay, Kung Fu Panda 2 was written by Charlie Kaufman, wasn't it?
Maybe.
Am I making that up?
You're totally making that up.
I can't be making that up. I read something about that somewhere. I'm looking it up on Wikipedia. Well, I typed Charlie Kaufman, K-U-N, and it auto-completes to Kung Fu Panda 2.
So Morgan Freeman auto-completes to Morgan Freeman dead. That doesn't mean dead.
Okay, Vanity Fair says that Charlie Kaufman punched up the script. There you go.
Okay.
There you go. He did. Wow. Okay, yeah. So they're kind of cool. They're getting cooler people. Woody Allen was in Ants.
Yeah, he sure
was. They only let cool people in as long as they can, like, keep a leash on them. Like, they couldn't keep a leash on the original Kung Fu Panda director, and the movie turned out really good, so, like, they basically asked him to never come back.
Well, not really good, but pretty.
So the answer is EA, then.
Okay, yeah. EA's our answer, which means we go right into our lightning round, guys! I'm so excited!
Can we go light into our lightning round?
Let's go light into our lightning round.
Yay!
I am going to name a video game character.
No.
And you have to tell me who you would cast to play them in a movie.
Nice!
Ooh. Are you ready?
Definitely not, but let's do it.
I have to know actor names now.
Go.
I don't know actor names, but we'll do our best.
Do your best. You know here we go. Number
Think
one.
Of movies you've seen.
Gene from God Hand.
Can they be dead actors?
Sure.
Gene from God Hand? Oh my God. Oh my
Christian
God.
Bale would be funny.
Christian Bale.
That's Christian Bale reprising his role from the movie The Fighter.
Okay. Ashley Graham, Resident Evil 4.
Was that the little girl?
Yeah, that's the president's daughter.
Ellen Page.
Okay. The He-Man from Half-Life.
Ellen Page.
No, you can't reuse people.
Who?
You can't reuse actors. The G.
Yeah, I know.
He's the smoking man from X-Files anyway, right?
Yeah, that's true. Andrew the Innkeeper from Majora's Mask.
Oh my God, that guy?
That girl.
John Nutt.
That's a girl!
Airbud should play it.
I don't know that character. I don't really know. I know the character, but I don't know...
Airbud. You don't know the character, yeah. But let's go with Airbud.
Airbud.
The
dog,
boss from Metal Gear Solid 3.
Who?
The boss from Metal Gear Solid 3.
Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett, fine.
No, Cate Blanchett's funny. We're talking about actors here.
Yeah.
Okay?
Real actors.
Be serious.
The female Commander Shepard.
No, you don't have to be serious.
Female commander ship. Obviously, Ripley.
Ellen Page.
I think Ripley's a good answer. All right.
Yeah. Sigourney Weaver.
Sergeant yep. Johnson from Halo.
Sergeant Johnson.
Yeah.
Wait, isn't he? Doesn't he? Oh, God.
He's actually based on a. He's based on the guy from Aliens. The commander guy from Aliens.
Also the black dude in Predator okay. that has the mustache.
Yeah,
black
and Carl Weathers.
Yeah, Carl Weathers was also in Arrested Development as the Weathers.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get Carl Weathers in there straight up.
Poison. Final Fight.
Poison from Final Fight.
Kaiopis.
Who?
The lead singer from The Darkness.
Okay.
Kaio Police is the Street Fighter player who is male-ish, but just
light
female.
Modeled after Poison.
Brandon, yeah, we're picking actual actors here.
Yeah, they have to be actors.
Some of you are.
You don't have to if you don't want to, though.
Okay, keep going.
You don't win.
I'm gonna keep going. This is the lightning round. Dante in the movie adaptation of the video game adaptation of the book Dante's Inferno.
Whoa! Sean Bean.
Okay.
Sean Bean 20 years ago.
No, anybody with a sword is Sean Bean.
Lester from Another World.
Oh my God.
Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, it's gotta be the Irish guy from The Red Violin.
Macaulay Culkin.
I like Macaulay. No, not Macaulay Culkin.
Cillian Murphy.
Home Alone.
I would go for Cillian Murphy. That's good.
I kind of like Steve Goldblum.
Steve Goldblum?
Yeah, to play Lester.
No.
He possibly could. Did you know that the only reason Lester has red hair in Another World is
because he put himself in there with the dark hair and he didn't like the way it looked?
Yes, you wrote about this in your action button review, Tim.
Eric Shaw also said he didn't want
lightning round!
Hey! Let me finish my sentence now. Everybody
really
shut up.
Fine. Really
he said he wanted him to have red hair so that people didn't think it was him.
Fine. Waluigi.
There. God.
Waluigi.
Hurry. Waluigi?
Mom,
Jaffy.
Danny DeVito.
No, he's too fat.
Your mom.
The ugly guy who played Green Goblin in Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. All right.
Willem Dafoe?
Dafoe, yeah.
Umberto Bellini?
Willem Dafoe is the number one hotness, that guy.
The Black Mage from Final Fantasy I.
Roberto Benigni.
Yeah.
Anybody. Because you can't see that character.
Roberto Benigni would add life.
Air Bud. Air Bud.
No, Air Bud.
Benigni could play Lester in Another World.
Right, Bayonetta.
Roberto Benigni.
Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin? Okay, that's the easy answer, yeah.
She's not a real actor.
I thought we were choosing real actresses.
Tina
real actresses
as
here.
Sarah Palin as Bayonetta.
Oh.
Okay.
Tina Fey with some prosthetic thighs.
Sure.
Duke Nukem?
Yeah, Duke Nukem.
Sean Bean.
You can't cast Sean Bean again.
Oh, come on.
God, who? Lundgren. The guy from They Live.
Bruce Campbell.
No, the wrestler guy.
It would have
Dolph Lundgren.
It would have to be Bruce Campbell because they ripped off all of his evil.
Rowdy Piper. Is who you're saying?
Yeah, Rowdy Piper.
Yeah, that's good. Right. I like that.
Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Okay, any Rowdy wrestler Rowdy I think would do. Johnson.
He could just have a revolving door.
Okay, let's go.
Voldo,
wrestler ship on wig.
Not talking.
Voldo from Soul Calibur.
What?
Voldo from Soul Calibur.
I mean, why Voldo?
Why not?
Roberto Benigni?
Yeah.
Saying Roberto Benigni.
No, that is...
Benigni, I'm a Voldo!
Mr. Bean.
What is Gollum? What is Gollum?
Owen Atkinson, yes.
Yeah, that's great. Kane and Lynch.
Kane and Lynch?
Yeah, cast them both.
Oh, man.
Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
No!
Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern.
Oh, man, I like that.
You've got it. That's right. That's good.
Alicia from Bullet Witch.
That's a Raven.
That's...
No! No!
Okay, could be her, now that I think about it. Now that you really? Think that. Ellen Page?
No, we already passed Ellen Page's Ashley Sam.
Ellen Page needs to be in, like, everything.
Wait, who's Ellen Page?
She's Ellen in the Heavy Rain sequel?
She's in that Heavy Rain game.
Okay, the Khaleesi from Game of Thrones.
Oh man, Khaleesi! Oh yeah, that's a good pick.
All right. I'd have her in there. I'd say what's up to her while she was...
Tim, this next one's for you. Who would play the martyr from Ziggurat?
Who would... Oh my god! I don't know.
Roberto Benigni.
Roberto Benigni! No, not...
It's the apocalypse!
Not Roberto Benigni. Oh man, I don't know. I don't know. Because there's a... I can't actually answer that question.
Yeah, I'm kind of asking you a loaded question here, Tim.
Back because there, the main character, Ziggurat, has no...
It would be like a Korean pop star.
No, it's Pat.
No.
If you wanted this to be genderless.
It would be probably some sort of Korean pop star with
yeah.
bleached hair.
All right. Yeah, that's perfect. And this last one's for Adam. Who would play the escapee in Cannibal?
Killing
you.
Hey, Air Bud.
Bill Clinton.
All right.
Keanu Reeves and Roberto Benigni together.
Nailed it.
Bill Clinton.
This has been episode 11 of the Insert Credit Podcast. I'd like to thank Adam Saltzman for being on our show this week. Thank you very much, Adam.
Oh, my pleasure, dudes. This was great.
Listen, guys, I want you to go do me this favor. I want everybody to go to semisecretsoftware.com. You're going to see the names of some games there. You're going to see Aquaria. You're going to see Wordle. You're going to see Cannibalt. You're going to see Gravity Hook.
Cannibalt.
You're going to see Steambirds. You're going to see a whole bunch of others, maybe. And I want you to buy every single one of those games and leave a review in the App Store saying that Alex Gorblak's Jaffe sent you. All right.
Yeah.
What else you can do while you're in iTunes is leave us a review. Tell us how great we are also. Maybe you can say Adam Saltzman sent you. Here's
Please
what
do.
Else.
Do it.
Yeah, let's do that. You could tweet.
Do it.
You could.
Yeah!
You could tweet about us on the Twitter using the hashtag InsertCredit. You can send in your questions to podcast@insertcredit.com, or like Teresa, you could send in your answers in a minute or less in an MP3 to podcast@insertcredit.com. It has been a pleasure hosting this podcast for you. I hope to host many, many more in the days to come. This has been Alex Gorblak's Jaffe.
I'm Tim Rogers.
He's Tim Rogers.
Yay!
That was Frank over there.
And that was Brandon.
Oh man, I love Brandon's voice.
Is podcasting.
Yeah, I want to say, Adam Saltzman, you need to make a game called Cannibaltissimo, right?
Yeah.
I'm being sort of serious here. A game called Cannibaltissimo, where every time you jump, he makes some sort of bizarre Roberto Benigni sound. He's like,
yippee!
Yeah! Oh, oh. Like, what do you think? I'll record you, like, a whole bunch of samples, and then you can just put them in there, and then re-release it as, like, the screeching voice version.
Can I admit that I have no idea who Roberto Benigni is?
He was in Beautiful.
He was in what?
Life is Beautiful.
I haven't seen that.
He's a very, very famous Italian actor.
Yeah, he's bald.
He's in that Jim Jarmusch like anthology film too.
I don't think I've seen that either.
Coffee and Cigarettes.
He's in Coffee and Cigarettes.
I haven't seen that either. You're striking out here.
You should
have. You're striking out, Jaffe.
No, Jaffe, you're striking out. You should watch Life is Beautiful. It's pretty good.
Is it on the Netflix?
Pretty good.
I think it is on Netflix.
Oh well, then I don't have a darn excuse.
Hey, are we gonna record Frank's intro to that thing?
Yeah. Is this like our post?
I'm still recording now.
Okay, so, alright, so, my friend Kevin Horton is a really cool hacker guy. I've known him for over a decade. He likes to make weird and cool things. And he's working on an FPGA console right now, which is a little box that'll sort of fake itself into being a bunch of classic consoles. He integrated Atari 2600 and NES support, and he's playing around with those, and he's like, well, what would happen if I piped NES music through the Atari's TIA chip so that it would be NES music coming out of an Atari? And what you're about to hear would not at all be possible on an Atari, but it's still really neat to hear. This is the Moon Song from DuckTales, inarguably the greatest song ever written. Played as if through an Atari chip. So here it is.
Passover, yeah!